good to have visitors here in the house of God with us, and we appreciate you taking out of your busy schedule and being with us as well. We'll continue our studies through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going verse by verse through this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're actually in verse 16 this evening, looking at the Word of God, verse 16. We'll read all the way down to verse 33, and we'll probably get down there this evening, Lord willing. If not, we'll just pick up next Wednesday night where we let off. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Verse 27, if any of them that believeth not bid you to feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I be by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Last week we began looking at this chapter and we looked at the consequences of sin and its consequences last week. And we looked in verses 1 through 4 and we noticed that believers have been given great blessings in God and that we shouldn't be ignorant of those blessings and that it will help us to understand where we came from, to know where we're going, what we was in the past, and what we should not be now. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So there has to be some changes. Well, one thing that helps us to continually grow is to remember where we were. We were lost and on our way to a devil's hell. No hope whatsoever in our own selves. Religion couldn't help us. Our heritage, our background, where we come from, left us wanting, and we stood in front of God lacking. We was lost. All of sin to come short of the glory of God. And so, when He saved us, He blessed us and continues to bless us. And believers should understand that we have been given great warnings in the Word of God. Great warnings in verses 5 through 15. The Bible said that God overthrew those guilty of sin. You know, be sure your sin will find you out. And God overthrew them. He went back and talked about the Old Testament, how it was an example to us. And he said, listen, they had this golden calf. They built idols. And guess what? Brought judgment. Then he went on and talked about them fornicating and living in a fleshly manner and committing whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And guess what? God brought judgment. Then he showed us there in verse number 9 about tempting God. What happened? God brought judgment. Then he showed us in verse 10, murmuring against God and the things of God. Not being satisfied with what God is doing and where God has us. And guess what happened when they murmured and complained? Brought judgment. Isn't that amazing? So many warnings. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, warning, warning, warning. Luke chapter number 13, verse 3 and verse 5. Except your print, you shall all likewise perish. There's warning after warning. That's the blessings of God. The blessings of God. How many of you have been riding down the road and you've seen a highway patrolman up on the hill, hid up inside the woods a little bit. You know what he's doing. You were going the speed limit. You were okay. What did you may have done when other cars was coming down the road headed that direction? Any of you ever been guilty of flashing your lights at somebody? Warning them that something up ahead. I'd say God's been flashing lights since the beginning. Been flashing. Normally, the sensible person heeds the warning. If I'm going 70 and a 60, we slow down. The normal person. We don't speed up. He's warning me. There's a highway patrolman up ahead. There's a policeman up ahead. He's warning me. So instead of going 10 miles over, I think I'll try 17 over. We don't do that. Sometimes with sin, we do it, don't we? Sin's pleasurable for a season. And the warnings are there. The warning of conscience. The warning of guilt. The warning of Scripture, the warning of friends. Instead of slowing down, say, oh Lord, help me get a hold of this. What do we do? Sometimes we go headlong flying in there. Man, we've been warned. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And listen, we have been warned. Before you I sit, cursings and blessings. Joshua, choose you this day. Me and my house, we're going to serve God. You'll choose to serve the God of your fathers before the flood, before, and you whatever you want to do. In other words, live like you want, but be willing to pay the price. It's your choice. We wake up in the morning at our choosing. We set alarm clock and if it's at 6 o'clock, if we want to get up at 6, we get up. If not, what do we do? We hit the snooze button. And if the three times the snooze button goes, if we still don't get up, what do we do? We choose to turn it off. Or we choose to get up. Listen, we have been warned. Well, it's a blessed thing to have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. But you know, so many times that we do not heed the warning of the Holy Spirit of God, the quenching. We grieve the Spirit and we ignore the voice of God until the voice of God that is a soft spoken voice. Sometimes we think we're looking for a thunderstorm or something, but God said, be still and listen, I'll speak to you. And sometimes with the things that we do, we clog up our ears and we don't hear the voice of God. We've been warned. And then here we get to Verse 12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God warns us. He makes a way of escape. Do you understand? With great privilege comes tremendous responsibility. It is a privilege to be called a child of the King. Great responsibility. It is a privilege to be a member of a local New Testament church. You just don't walk in a church and just it's your right to become a member. You present yourself for membership, you're looked at, and you're talked to, and if you meet the qualification the Lord leads, and then the church votes on it, you can become a member. It's a privilege. Great privilege. It's a privilege to be able to have the ordinance of the church distributed and conducted, baptism being one. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, and He commanded in Matthew that we be baptized after we're saved. And He said, "My commandments aren't grievous." You know, a lot of people, after they get saved, they refuse baptism. There's a heart problem there, because God commands that we follow Him in baptism. He commands that. And so if He commanded, then we ought to be willing to be obedient to that. And after you're saved and you're baptized and you're a member of a church, there's the Lord's table. We should be responsible about the Lord's table. What is the Lord's? Listen, chapter 11, we're going to get more detail into chapter 11, into the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table. But we need to be responsible about it. We need to be very careful about the Lord's table. Sometimes we think it's just our right to just take communion, when our life does not line up with the Word of God. The Bible talks about an examination. The Lord's Supper is to remind us of what Christ did for us. And verse 16 talks about the cup of blessing, which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The elements there are symbolic. A lot of people think that by taking the Lord's Supper, somehow or another they add to their salvation. Well, that's contrary to Scripture, because Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost. A lot of people think baptism saves or adds to salvation. But what do you do with Scriptures like the blood of Christ washes away all our sins? What's left for the baptism? It has to be in proper order. There has to be proper responsibility. And there has to be unity according to verse 17. "For we being one, many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." There has to be some responsibility when it comes to the Lord's table, because it's His table. It's not ours. We are invited. We have privilege to go there because of salvation through Christ alone, because of membership in that local church. Some people are not responsible. They just follow the world's leading. Listen, baptism and the Lord's Supper are local church ordinances. They don't belong just to anybody. You know, Brother Victor, you can't just up and go down to the nursing home one day and baptize somebody and give somebody the Lord's Supper. That belongs to a local church. It's a local church ordinance. Some people believe you can. They just show up and, you need to. There has to be that authority. This book First Corinthians was written to a local church in Corinth. It's a pattern. It's not written to just the to believers scattered around Corinth. It was written unto the church at Corinth. And it is written in context to a church. And so as it's written in context to that church, we as a church follow it as a pattern. But some people are not responsible at it. There's perversions of the Lord's Supper. We can't follow the example of the world when it comes to church doctrine. We have to follow the example of the Word of God. We have to be responsible with that. Verse 21 talks about the you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and cup of the of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. You know, sometimes we think it's simply okay to live as we want outside of the house of God. But when it comes to the time to go to church, we put our smiley face on, our church clothes on, and everything's all right. Oh, no, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, between Sunday is when believers live. Think about it like this. This is a good example. When we have church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's like a huddle. We're calling a huddle. Teammates, we huddle up. You notice football players, the defense don't come over to the offense huddle. Stays over there. The offense don't go to the defense huddle. We huddle up. And when you huddle up, what are you doing? You're getting the plan. You're getting the play. Getting on the same sheet of music. Then when you break that huddle, what are you trying to do? Advance the ball. When we break huddle, when we dismiss, we are to advance the gospel. Not here. Oh, praise God when folks get saved in the house of God. Oh, that's a blessing. But when we break huddle, we get out yonder. So therefore, if I break huddle here and I get out into this world, I need to understand something, that even in the world, I cannot be partaker of the devil's table. A lot of folks just want to think that their life becomes their own when church closed down. That's not so. I don't take the Holy Spirit of God out of myself and fold Him up and put Him nice and neatly in a drawer in the desk over there in the office. The Holy Spirit of God indwells me, lives with me, and where I go, He goes, and what I do, He does, if I walk in the Spirit live by faith, I grow in grace and honor, and I begin to mature and be a mature Christian, a mature believer, as I go, that which is inside of me, which is stronger and greater than anything in this world, according to 1 John. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. Helps me to shine my light and to show forth the love of Christ. And pass this understanding and helps me to live peaceably with all men. You can't choose. Well, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'm going to be at the Lord's table. And then Sunday, that's where we've been at for the last 30 years in Christendom. We say the last amen. Out the door we go. And we just believe that that's our right. Oh, no, dear friend. We need to live much more holier out there. Because out there is who needs it. We come together, huddle up, and get in the workroom, the weight room, to build one another up and to help each other grow in our faith, so that when we do get out there on the front lines, we can withstand the wiles of the devil. You can't do it. Verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We come in here and sing the praises of God. I was reading an article the other day, and you'll be... It'll just lift you up. It lifted me up. I was reading an article about a music school, and the professor was teaching, was doing a survey within the music school, and it was a Christian type music school, and asking what's the trend of music, what they're seeing, the trends of music, and how's it going, and what's it going to do, and the consensus was this: that the circle of contemporary music has come around and it's headed right back to traditional music. In college-age students was saying this. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? Just stay fast and the world will see. You chase the whims of society. And you go with the winds and guess what happens? It has to settle down sometime and they see which works. See, it's a spiritual thing, not a fleshly thing. It's a reverential type study. You can't just grab the beat of the world and put some music of Christian words to it and it be all right. It doesn't work like that. You can't have it both ways. We provoke him to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Verse 23, are all things lawful for me? Paul kind of covered this in chapter 8, didn't he? We went over this a little bit in chapter 8, but he kind of goes at this a different angle. In chapter 8, it was dealing with the public view and out in the open. This is narrowing it down to a little bit private relationships. Is all things lawful for me? But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edifieth not. We've got to understand that. As Christians, as believers in Christ, we have to understand something, that everything that is available to me is not helpful to those around me. Oh, I can do it. I can partake of it because it's lawful. But can these younger kids, can somebody older, can they look at me and say, wow? Think about music, for example. Think about musicians, and listen, I'm telling you that not all secular music is of the devil, and not all Christian music is of God. It's just not, because Christian music has spread so broad, and you know, because if it was, we couldn't sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm, E-I-E-I-O. We'd have to sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, all the time. But think about it. There are some very good artists out there and entertainers. And they sometimes sing a song that is, touching. Good. But then you buy the album. Do they have albums anymore, guys? You buy the album, the 8-track. And one song is good, but then 8 of them are like, God help. And you have it in your car, and you have that album in your car, and it's there, and you've been witnessing to your buddy at work or your friend at play or whatever, and they get in and they see that, and I guarantee you their mind ain't on that one good song. They know all the bad ones. And what you just did was promote that person to them. And we justify and say, well, one of those songs is really good and I like it. I'm just going to help you out here. Jesus Take the Wheel, pretty good lyrics. What about the rest of them? What about the rest of them, she sings? What about the way she dresses? It promotes the world and ungodliness. You see where I'm at? I don't have to get no deeper. It may be lawful, but it doggone sure is not expedient. Thank you, Brother Bernie. I'm glad one of us singing the same song. Verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Boy, it'd be nice if we just get to think about others, wouldn't it? It's been too long about us, church. It's been too long. Me, me, all about me. It's got to be about me. It's what I want, what I desire. Aren't you so thankful that it wasn't all about God? And the fullness of it is God. The Scripture just said to us, everything in this earth is the Lord's. You know what it's about? It was all about us for God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came to them. When man fell, God sent His Son. When God calls out a name for Himself, God's calling us home. We can't jump in our car and get up there and go if we want to. It ain't like we can go down to the ticket hub and buy us a ticket to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. It's time that our kids and our church and our families learn that it's not all about us. It must be about others. Because if it's not about others, dear friend, we will soon fix all of our problems and grow old and die on out of here. There's hurting people in every aspect of our lives out those doors. And we've got to seek another man's wealth. Well, preacher, I'm just about tired of working myself to the bone and people that won't work get handouts. See the mentality? That is spiritual. You and I were poor in trespasses, sins, dead unto ourselves. And Christ Jesus made us co-heir and joint heir with Him. And all that He has is ours. When are we going to seek somebody else's wealth? Well, how do we do that? We got to get up from the devil's table. That's how. Because I'm telling you, the devil makes us selfish. We're already selfish enough. But he feeds us just enough of the goodies of the world that we are selfish. We get all we can and we want more and want more and want more and we got to have more. He feeds the lust of that desire of the flesh. Somebody invites you over for dinner. Hey, let me tell you something. We have a responsibility to fellow Christians. Brother David, there's other Christians around us. They're not as strong as you and I. And we have a responsibility to them to bring them along. Brother Fred and I was talking before church, and it's amazing. And you can say, give me a witness if you want. How many times has somebody called and told you bad news about somebody? So-and-so failed. So-and-so got out of church. So-and-so did this. So-and-so. When's the last time somebody called you and praised somebody and lifted them up to you? When's the last time somebody called you and said, hey, I'm going to tell you, Romans really thrilled my heart today. Let Romans fool around and get caught with some drugs in his truck. It ain't happening. You know what happens? We become the Fox News of Lock Haven. Sister Debbie, you know what happened. You need to pray, because I'm telling you, it's bad. Sister Rhonda's going to be in deep trouble because her car got towed. Why? Romans was stuck around fooling with drugs. You know what I'm saying? It's truth. We don't tell nobody about the good that somebody does. When's the last time you picked up the phone and said, hey, somebody did this great for me. Bless my heart. It's got to be about others, seeking others' wealth. Verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Verse 32, it ought to help you. There's three categories it talks about in verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Sometimes we have far more grace with the lost out there in this world than do with our brother and sister in Christ. Sometimes we have far more grace with our brother and sister in Christ, but if a lost person we walk up on and has a beer sitting on the truck, we get a little upset and mad. But if our brother and sister in Christ has one sitting up, we drive up there, we say, oh, we've got a multitude of sin covers up, a multitude of love covers up sin. We have all kind of grace. Give none offense to the Jew, Gentile, or the church of God. Three different categories. We need to be careful what we do. We have a great responsibility to be the same with everybody, not to be respecters of persons. Why? Verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but profit of many, that they may be saved. We got a responsibility about the things of God. The Lord's table, baptism, doctrine, teachings, ministry. We got a responsibility with Christian believers. And we got a responsibility with lost folks all around us. If we are fighting and striving amongst ourselves, so busy amongst ourselves, struggling and fighting with each other about personalities and things of that nature, the lost stands no chance of hearing Jesus say. One day a man called me, probably about 3-4 years ago. He was telling me that the Chinese version that we print over there is really bad and it's really not any good and we shouldn't be printing the Chinese version over there. And I listened and listened and listened and listened. Probably close to an hour he tried telling me how bad it was. And so when he finally caught a breath, he must have swallowed a fly or something. Finally caught his breath and I stooped. Yes, sir, I understand. Thank you very much. Do you have one that we can use that's good? No, I ain't got one that's good. I said, for an hour you've told me how bad it is and what we're doing. I said, with an hour, sir, me and you could have knocked on 15 doors each. Listen, do you call me and tell me how bad it is? We got a responsibility, church. First to God, to each other because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, then to the world. Then to the world. We got great responsibility. What's happening if we don't do it? There's sins, there's consequences of sin. You know what happened if we don't fulfill our responsibility? Lost people go to hell. Christians don't come to church because they're mad and they're fighting to get out of church. They're done. There's no maturity. You know why it's so important to be in the house of God as a believer? Growth. Spiritual growth. I'll tell you one thing else about somebody that don't want to submit to baptism in a local church either. They get mad over every preaching doctrine that's out there. They're mad, ready to go at the bang. First time something mentioned in that book. There's a heart problem. Let's stand to our feet.